And welcome back to Success Made to Last International Trendsetter Series. I'm Rick Tocchini. This series is about the art and science of marketing, its reinvention, the harnessing of rapid change, giving you, the listener, emerging ideas from around the globe to help your company create your best version. Our host is Deborah Malone, marketing pioneer and guru, highly opinionated, daring, and a trendsetter. She is the internationalist, connecting people and ideas in international advertising, media, and marketing through intelligent content. Join Deborah today in the pursuit of reshaping the future of marketing. Here's Deborah Malone.
Thanks, Rick, and welcome to another internationalist trendsetter show. Today's guest is Amanda Brinkman, Chief Brand and Communications Officer at Deluxe Corporation. This 105-year-old company has long been known as a maker of checks, literally an invention that changed banking. The simple concept turned into a century of helping consumers, entrepreneurs, enterprise, and financial institutions thrive. For the company's centennial, Amanda transformed the company again. She knew that most Deluxe customers were small businesses in need of online marketing services. So she crisscrossed the United States to talk with business owners and also learned firsthand that each business has a compelling story to tell. And in a world awash with content, there's no question that compelling stories can be powerful marketing tools. And that was just the beginning. Amanda Brinkman is a passionate brand marketer who has made two leadership moves that are now among the contemporary hallmarks of good marketing. She turned to her customers to see how she could address their needs, and she inherently understood that an organization could do well by doing good. Today we're talking with Amanda about what it takes to be a revolutionary marketer and the importance of meaningful brand action. Amanda, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Amanda, and great to see you with your actual Zoom background there.
I know, it's such a different world now. My laptop is held up by a couple of shoe boxes, so it's a bit of a rinky-dink situation here, but we're making it work.
We're all making it work. And you've done so much for small business over your career. I really have been excited to talk to you and learn a little bit more. But let's start by talking about how you transformed Deluxe. It was long known as a maker of checks, and now you've really turned it into a company that champions small business. And it began with the centennial, correct? That's when you started it. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so in 2015, we were celebrating our centennial. So we've been in the business of helping small businesses and financial institutions be successful for over 100 years. But our business had really evolved over those 100 years, and we needed to use our centennial to talk about our future as a company and some of the things that we were now focused on. And so we felt like, you know, we had done a lot around the small business space. We were doing more and more things. We used to just help small businesses move their money and operate. And now we were helping them with things like marketing. So their websites and logos and email marketing, anything they needed to do to market themselves. But people really didn't know us for that. They either weren't familiar with the name Deluxe or thought of us as the check printer, as you mentioned. And so we really needed to use our centennial to talk about our future as a company. And I'm a huge believer that companies can connect with their customers better when they're doing something good for them. And that is how companies should behave. And so we felt like the best way to get our brand in front of small businesses is to do something that matters to them. And so the vision from the very beginning was truly to create a movement. The number one thing small businesses need is business. They need people to come and support them. And so we felt like instead of playing in the same pool as our competitors and just talking at small businesses, mm-hmm. could we be the ones that are actually driving business to them and inspiring people to support them? And so we created something called the Small Business Revolution, where we told the stories of small businesses. And the storytelling was key to this because we felt like, you know, when you hear a small business owner's story, you want to support them. You suddenly recognize that you're supporting a family, you're supporting business owners who are actively involved in their community. Again, you hear that story and you put a face to the business and you want to support them. And so in the first year of the movement, we went across the country and told the stories of 100 small businesses, and we rolled those out throughout our 100th year. But again, the underlying principle was always truly to create a movement. We just want to be the ones that were standing for advocating and inspiring people to support small businesses.
And you've evolved that revolution in quite extraordinary ways. I know you've been involved with big ideas like Shark Tank and others. I mean, I've always been impressed by that. So tell me then how you took it from that first year to all those next big steps.
Yeah, so in our first year, we really found that the movement was gaining a lot of momentum. It truly had become a movement. We were getting a lot of earned media attention. We were seeing a lot of people come on board from social media perspective, and we were really starting to see kind of, again, this momentum. And from a marketing strategy, you know, we were really trying to stretch our spend. If we were doing something genuine and authentic, people would share it on our behalf. Stories would be written about it, people would share it in social media, and we were seeing that happen. And so we wanted to keep going down that path, but we didn't want to just tell 101 stories in the second year of the work. We felt like there was something more we could be doing. And one of the things that we noticed when we were going across the country telling these stories of 100 small businesses is that nowhere are small businesses more under siege and struggling than they are in our small towns. And so we felt like we could evolve the series. We could still be doing storytelling about small businesses, but we could take it a step further and actually help those businesses. The things that we saw these entrepreneurs struggling with are the things that we as a business do every day. And in that first year, our point wasn't to talk about our products and services, but we recognized that we would have an opportunity to do what we do for small businesses, tell the stories of small businesses, but show how what we do can help small businesses. And so it evolved into a TV show where each season we revitalize a different small town's main street, and we do it through its small businesses. And so while the first year was focused on 100 different stories, each season of the show, we're now in our fifth season, is about 6 to 7 individual small businesses within a community. And we come in and we help them with things like their marketing and their operations and things like that. But we're really trying to help them, you know, get back to doing what they love about their business. We never have to affect their passion or their skill set. We're just helping surround them with the resources that so many small businesses struggle with. And so, yes, it has evolved. And it's now a TV show that's on Hulu. It's also on Prime Video now, and it streams online.
Good for you. Because I do remember some years that you would announce which city it was, and it was a tremendous amount of fanfare, and that was great. Let me just ask you a couple of quick practical questions. Now, how do you define small business? Because you've mentioned a lot about entrepreneurs, and in some cases there's what I might call micro businesses, which are really tiny, then they're small, and then there are some small businesses that employ quite a number of people and are key to some local economies. So could you just run through your definition?
Yeah, so we really define it differently by industry, to the exact points that you were making. So, you know, whether in retail or restaurant or services-based businesses, it can be a little bit different, but we try to kind of use kind of under $1 million in revenue and under 100 employees is our general way in which we define small businesses. But again, that can be different by industry. The businesses that we feature in the show are much more kind of your typical, you know, maybe they have, you know, under 10 employees. They're certainly not hitting anywhere near $1 million mark in terms of revenue. And I think that's part of the message that we're trying to tell in our story. So you mentioned Shark Tank. So in seasons 1 and 2 of the show, Robert Hirschbach from Shark Tank was my co-host of the show. And I remember when he first started working with us, he was kind of taken aback a bit by how small the small businesses were, because I think in this country, we're so used to seeing these, you know, tech startups and these businesses going on shows like Shark Tank wanting to be that next huge global success. And that isn't actually what the majority of small businesses look like in our country. They are just employing a few people. They're not necessarily trying to grow to extraordinary means. They're really just trying to provide for their family, give give back to their community, make a good living, feeling like they're doing something that they love. And so that's what we're really trying to also communicate through this show, is that there are small businesses all around us, and not everyone is trying to be the next Mark Zuckerberg. A lot of people are just really, again, trying to provide for their family.
Mm-hmm. No, it's interesting. I'm also curious. So that goes hand in hand with a lot of the services that you are offering, a number of services that are marketing related or internet related, correct? Just tell me about what some of them are, because I'm curious, as someone who's in marketing, does marketing really then make a big difference to these small businesses?
Marketing really does make a big difference, and it's one of the top two things that small businesses struggle with the most. So the first thing they struggle with is their finances. You know, they're not just not having capital, but really not knowing their numbers or what the numbers are telling them. And then marketing, and not understanding how to use marketing to grow their business. So Deluxe can do everything a small business needs from a marketing perspective, much like you would find in an agency, but at the scale and affordability that a small business can access. So we can help you secure your domain, design your logo, build your website, email marketing, social media, you know, print your business cards, banners, promo and apparel, uniforms, really anything a small business needs to brand and market themselves. We also help with things like payroll solutions, point of sale solutions, certainly checks, both physical print checks, customized forms, but also e-checks and electronic movement of dollars as well. So Deluxe can really help a small business both operate and market their business. But what we really find with small businesses is that they didn't start their business in order to build a website or to figure out payroll. They started their business because they love to make croissants, or they love to care for animals, or because they love to run a restaurant. And so that's what we love about what we do, is that we can help make some of those things easier. For those of us who are not from the industry, it doesn't come naturally to small businesses to figure out how to have a regular cadence of posting on social media or what their logo should look like.
That's interesting. Now, what about, so most of them are physical businesses as opposed to kind of direct to consumer, or do some of them find that you can help them actually sell their things online and make a difference?
Yeah, it's been really interesting in this current crisis as well. We're working with a lot of businesses on their e-commerce solutions. So how do you move, even if you don't have a robust e-commerce solution right away, how do you make sure that you're making it as easy as possible for people to buy from you in this current state of interaction? So are you being clear in your communications around, are you still open as a business? If you are open, how do people order from you? What is the process for delivery or pickup? Really using marketing to communicate. The great thing about marketing and the great thing about the internet is that small businesses can show up big online. Mm-hmm. If you have a sophisticated logo, if you have a clear and concise website, if you have an online presence that means that you're findable, you can compete in a different way. And we are always encouraging small businesses to think through their marketing, but marketing could not be more important than it is right now for businesses.
No, that is amazing, and it's critical. I've always admired your concept of doing well by doing good. I mean, I think that, we talked about this many years ago. I mean, I really do think we use words like purpose a lot today, but you, I thought, really got it from a marketing standpoint and from a real standpoint of caring and passion by wanting to do well by doing good. We did initially connect through our Marketing Makes a World of Difference project. Can you just talk a little bit more about that doing well by doing good? And is that different than what purpose is today, or is that what purpose should be about?
Well, first of all, thank you for your kind words. It means a lot coming from someone like you who has been celebrating goodness in the marketing space for years. So thank you for that. To me, I think doing well by doing good means that we don't have to think about making money and doing good for other people as such mutually exclusive events. Mm-hmm. So, in the business world, we think so divisively about like for-profit or non-profit. And I feel like you can be doing both things. Mm-hmm. I think we're proving that through the small business revolution. So for us, we're doing well by business metrics, which means raising awareness, getting our brand in front of people. But on our way to doing well, we're doing good for the very community that we serve. Not just the business that we feature in the show, but all of the other things that are involved in the movement that I haven't gone into detail on. So we're doing good things for the small business community, which is doing well for our business. But the two things are actually very intrinsically linked and they're coexisting. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk about that, I'm talking about, you know, I think companies need to stop and think about when they're defining their brand purpose, they can't stop there. They can't just kind of come up with a phrase, this is what we stand for and this is what we do. You have to figure out what is your unique brand action? What can you actually be doing in the lives of your customers that makes a difference beyond just selling them things? I think we all want that as leaders. I think as brands and companies, we should want that. And certainly our employees and our team members want that. We all want to feel like we're working towards something that's making the world a better place beyond just making money. And we can do both things. We can do well as a company and make money, but we can also be doing good. And I think that we're finding that from a marketing messaging perspective, if you're doing it for the right authentic and genuine reasons, the two things come alongside each other. You can be doing, it's a more authentic way to be resonating with your customer base when they see that you're actively participating in their lives and care about them as individuals, again, beyond just what you sell.
Now, I thought, though, that when you started this, it was so inspired that you could have that big a vision for literally what was then a check writing company or a check producing company. Mm-hmm. And I know that over 100 years, Deluxe obviously did more, and even checks were a revolution in its time. But I think that to think at a higher level or to look bigger at things, to be able to get that now in my own mind, I can't separate Deluxe and small business revolution or doing good for small business, which is just extraordinary to me.
Thank you.
Well, you're more than welcome. It's so deserving. But that also leads me to the role of a CMO today. And I do admire how several years ago that you were able to think bigger and really transform a company in such an extraordinary way. But what do you believe a CMO's role should be today? And what is the best way for a CMO to make a difference? I mean, we hear so many things about, oh, the CMO title is going away, people aren't in roles for long enough. There's a lot of negative out there, but I think there's a lot of good too. So I'd like to hear from you.
I think that you're right. I mean, I almost feel like being a CMO is becoming kind of a two-headed monster. You kind of have like the brand and creative side of things and that brand voice and what you stand for, the heart of the company. And then you're also very responsible for the revenue and the sales and the measurement side of things. And so I think, you know, some CMOs have found a way to be successful on both sides, but at the end of the day, you're held accountable to the measurement side and you're held accountable to the sales side. And I think the CMOs that can have the fortitude and strength to stay committed to the brand and the brand heart side of things, I think are the ones who are doing successful work right now, because it's very easy to get distracted by even your own job security around answering for the latest, earnings report and making sure that you're always constantly thinking through the measurement of things, and you can get very distracted from the heart side of things. And so I think that is why we're seeing the CMO title start to go away, because I do think there's a difference between being kind of a chief revenue officer and being a chief brand officer. And I've been lucky in my role that my title has always been chief brand officer, and some of our marketing functionality has been taken care of within the business units. And that has allowed me the luxury of staying focused on kind of that brand voice. And often when I'm speaking to marketing organizations, I talk a lot about how, you know, as marketers, we're the heart of our organizations. We're the closest to our consumers. We understand what motivates them, what is bothering them in their lives, and what we could be helping solve as a company. And if we're not the ones advocating for our brand or our company to be doing something good, you know, who will? I don't know where else I would come from in the organization. And so I do think that the CMO's role needs to be focused on both things. You want to be doing well by the company and growing the company, but you have to stay focused on the doing good part and what your company and your brand stands for. And I think it's very easy to get distracted by the measurement side. And oftentimes that is in jeopardy of the brand side then?
Yeah, it seems to me that there are few roles that in business at all, except maybe in small business, given what you said about passion and caring, that take so much heart and brain in many ways. And that's both for internal communications and external communications. So it is not an easy role, but I do think, like everything, if you put your heart first, sometimes that at least gets the vision and the concept out there. But you've done a wonderful job at it. But given today's situation, unfortunately, we're hearing a lot about small business, maybe in a heart-wrenching sort of way. Have you made any changes to how Deluxe is helping small businesses now, or how have your own strategies changed?
Yeah, we've done a couple of things. So, we've of course set up a COVID-19 resources page that covers everything from how to think through the different loan options to what you could be doing to protect your employees, how you can be thinking about your marketing in this time. It's a really robust COVID response page, and obviously that's going to be on deluxe.com. We've started an ancillary series to, we're in the middle of filming season 5 of the Small Business Revolution. And so we're doing a number of things to help those businesses, and I'll come back to that. But we've started this new series where it's called Small Business Big Heart, and we are featuring businesses that are doing extraordinary things within their communities, especially in the face of this disaster. So small businesses that are, family-owned furniture makers who have completely turned around all of their operations and are now making isolation gowns, or a distiller that was formerly making spirits is now making hand sanitizer, or restaurants that are, putting in place bag lunches for kids who are formerly always getting their lunches from the school system and no longer have that option, or are giving away meals. Some restaurants that we've interviewed have, if you buy a meal, give a meal, and they're still charging at retail, but they're able to then give away those other meals to first responders. We're just seeing small businesses stand up in such extraordinary ways right now when they should, and rightfully are so concerned and fearful of their own business, but it is their instinct. And this is what we love about small businesses. Their instinct is like, what can we do? What should we be doing? Let's go do it. And so we've loved featuring them in this series. It's all shot.
And how do you feature them? Is it a TV series, or is it on just storytelling videos on Deluxe, or?
Yeah, so it lives on smallbusinessrevolution.org, which is where our show lives as well. And we promote them, through social media as well. And then we've opened up GoFundMe pages for each of these businesses so that the public can help support whatever it is that they're doing within the community. So we, the director of the Small Business Revolution and myself, interview the small business about what they're doing within the community, what the reaction has been, how they've pivoted their business, just their philosophy behind why this was something that they decided to do, and just really provide kind of hope and inspiration to other small businesses, either to help them think through what they could be doing with their business, or just to kind of be a ray of again, hope and optimism in these somewhat dark times. So it's a recorded Zoom call, which I think everyone kind of has an appetite for right now. We all understand that that's kind of the reality of production right now. Mm-hmm. And then we just edit the videos together, and they live on the website. And again, we post them on the Small Business Revolution's social media channels as well as Deluxe's.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's absolutely great. Now, you said you were also going to go back to talking about the fifth season of the Small Business Revolution.
Yeah, we're in season 5. It's in Fredonia, New York this year. So each season, we ask people to nominate their favorite small town. We have a whole process for narrowing it down, the public vote. And so at the end of January, with great fanfare, we announced that Fredonia, New York had won season 5 after millions of votes were cast. And it's just so crazy to think what a different world that was. We were in a packed auditorium full of people celebrating that they had just won it. And then just months later, we're all in isolation. But we had actually already started filming season 5. So we have the first few scenes of each of the episodes in the can. And then the crisis hit. And so now we've had to move a lot of the production to recorded Zoom calls and things like that. And we're hopeful to get back on set either in June or July or August. We have a couple of major shoots still left to do to complete the season. But it's, I think this is what's hard as a leader right now is, you know, my team is looking to me like, how will we make this decision? How will we know when we're going to go back out and film? And it's so uncertain for everyone to be decisive or make decisions right now when it affects so many other people's safety and well-being. But anyway, so we're hopeful to finish season 5 and it'll launch in the fall. But at the very beginning of the season, we were just in America starting to hear these whispers of this it wasn't even called a crisis then, but just of COVID. And we thought to ourselves, I wonder if this will end up showing up at all in season 5. I wonder if this will be a part of the narrative at all. And then you fast forward a month later and it's like this entire season is going to be about, it very much is, which I think will be also inspiring to people to see how we help these businesses through this crisis. You know, we're all the things that we typically do for the businesses within the show, we're still doing new logos, new websites, new business cards, everything that they kind of need to rethink their marketing strategy and their finances. We're still doing all of that. We're just doing it a lot faster and with a different lens right now just because of the crisis. So,
and give us the name of the town again in New York.
It's Fredonia, New York.
Now, where is that? Fredonia with an F?
Yes. Okay. Fredonia. They're just outside of Buffalo, about an hour outside of Buffalo. So Western New York State.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. All right. Well, here's a big question as we wrap up. And it's always amazing to me whenever we talk that the time goes so quickly. But how do you think business, and I know you started to address this when you were even talking about season 5, but how do you think business will change post-crisis, particularly small business?
I think small businesses will be more mindful of having more cash reserves than they historically have operated on. It's always been a risk to small businesses how little cash they actually have on hand, and it's quite common. But I think they will recognize the need for that in the future. I think we're seeing a lot of the businesses that are really, you know, kind of figuring out how to hunker down during this time are doing three things. The first thing is that they're really thinking about this as the business right now, not how will I just survive in the next few weeks, but like, how do I need to pivot my business right now and what will be in place for growth? So we're seeing people move classes online and recognize that maybe they'll always offer those classes online, even when we're able to assemble in groups again. So we're seeing the businesses that are really being strategic about, you know, how to pivot their business model around what is needed right now, but to think about the future are responding faster. The second is that we're recognizing that the small businesses that are embracing marketing and communications and are in front of their customers explaining how they can still support them, they're going to do well, and they're finding they have time to focus on those marketing pieces, but they're finding that they it's so important to communicate with customers right now. People want to support small businesses, so the small businesses have to make it as easy as possible for people to understand how to buy from you right now. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing that we're seeing of successful small businesses right now is that this doing good piece is that they recognize that they have a role within their community and they can play an active role and respond to what their community needs right now. And we're seeing the universe, I suppose, is rewarding them for that. We're seeing business come as a result of it. And they didn't do it for the business. They were doing it because it was the right thing to do. And I love that the after effect of that is that the business is coming as a result.
Well, I think there's no better way to end than to say that sometimes by doing good, you can do well, even if that wasn't the reason why you did it. You did it for the inspiration. And I think that small businesses can inspire lots of us and can inspire big business. So what you've done is just remarkable. And I hope you can join us again after you go through season 5 and of the Small Business Revolution and look at the pandemic and look at how business has pivoted, because I think that would be just crucial.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, a pleasure. Thank you. Thanks, Amanda, for being part of today's show and for being an essential part of our marketing community. You've inspired our listeners to not merely think differently, but act differently. Now back to Rick.
And thanks for joining us for another Internationalist Trendsetter Show hosted by Deborah Malone. To get further information on today's topic, visit the-internationalist.com, your trusted source for innovative marketing trends, best practices, aspiring to create new world standards. Have a great week.
This show is brought to you by Success Made to Last. Success Made to Last is a multimedia company with a focus on you and releasing your full potential. If you want to find out more information about all the programs associated with this company, go to successmadetolast.com.